We will now study the auscultatory characteristics of heart murmurs and arrhythmias. In order to evaluate heart murmurs, several characteristics of the murmur must be considered. First, determine the timing, configuration, and duration. Is the murmur occurring in systole or diastole, or is it continuous? In addition to gross timing, it is also important to know whether the murmur is occurring in early, mid, or late systole or diastole, and what is its quality and duration. Terms used to describe the quality or configuration of murmurs include plateau, crescendo-decrescendo, or diamond-shaped, and decrescendo. These are depicted in Figure 2-1. This is the sound of a plateau, or regurgitant quality murmur. Listen now to a crescendo, decrescendo, or ejection quality murmur. Now listen again to the sound of a regurgitant murmur. Is it easier to perceive the different qualities of these sounds? If not, go back and listen again to each sound in relatively quick succession until you have trained your ear to recognize the difference. Now, listen to a decrescendo murmur. Next, determine the pitch of the heart murmur. The pitch is determined primarily by the frequency range and frequency mix of the murmur. When the frequency range is 60 to 100 Hz, the murmur is low-pitched and rumbling. With a frequency range of 100 to 250 Hz, the murmur is of medium pitch or harsh. With a frequency greater than 300 Hz, the murmur is high-pitched. The next step is to locate the point of maximal loudness of the murmur and to study the radiation or transmission of the murmur. Then, determine if the murmur varies with respiration, and if so, how. Then, grade the loudness from 1 to 6. A grade 1 out of 6 murmur is a very soft murmur heard only in a quiet room after a period of concentrated listening over the point on the chest where the murmur is heard. A grade 2 out of 6 is a soft murmur that is audible as soon as the stethoscope chest piece is appropriately placed at the point of maximal intensity. A 2 out of 6 murmur does not radiate widely from the point on the chest where it is heard best. A grade 3 out of 6 murmur is louder, heard easily some distance away from its point of maximal intensity, but not generally audible on the opposite side of the chest. A grade 4 out of 6 murmur signifies a loud murmur, radiating widely, often including the opposite side of the chest, but not associated with a palpable precordial thrill. A grade 5 out of 6 murmur designates a very loud murmur that is associated with the palpable precordial thrill that always marks its point of maximal intensity on the chest wall. Finally, a grade 6 out of 6 murmur designates an extremely loud murmur that is not only associated with a palpable precordial thrill, but can also be heard without the stethoscope or with the stethoscope removed from the chest wall. Knowledge of the timing and location of murmurs allows one to rapidly establish a differential diagnosis. This is diagrammed in Figure 2-2. The differential diagnosis can often be narrowed further by considering the age, breed, and gender of the patient. Loud systolic murmurs, grade 3 to 6 out of 6, that develop in older, small breed dogs are typically caused by mitral and/or tricuspid valve degeneration and subsequent regurgitation. Acquired soft systolic murmurs occurring in large breed dogs may also be caused by mitral valve regurgitation, but the underlying cause of that regurgitation is more likely to be dilated cardiomyopathy. We will begin with systolic murmurs, or those heard between S1 and S2. We will listen first to ejection-quality murmurs. These murmurs are typically diamond-shaped or crescendo-decrescendo in contour. Lesions causing significant ventricular outflow obstruction are typically associated with loud systolic ejection-quality murmurs. Such murmurs are best initially auscultated using the diaphragm of the stethoscope, which allows for the clear transmission of the predominant medium and some high-frequency components of the murmur, and screens out some of the potentially confusing low-frequency sounds. Ejection murmurs occurring with minimal or absent outflow tract obstruction are typically shorter in duration, softer, and have an earlier peak or crescendo. These murmurs have predominant medium with some low-frequency components and are often best auscultated with the bell of the stethoscope. The systolic murmur of subaortic stenosis results from turbulent blood flow across the left ventricular outflow tract obstruction below the aortic valve. The murmur is usually loudest in the aortic area, at the left heart base, and frequently radiates to the right hemithorax, between the thoracic inlet and the right third intercostal space, where it may be heard nearly as well as on the left. The murmur may radiate up the carotid arteries and rarely to the skull. It is a harsh or rough-sounding medium to high-pitched murmur, frequently of relatively long duration. As a general rule, the more severe the ventricular outflow tract obstruction, the longer and louder is the murmur. Listen now to the crescendo-decrescendo systolic murmur of subaortic stenosis as created on a heart sound simulator. Note the later peaking of the systolic murmur and diminution of S2 in more severe aortic stenosis. Listen now to an actual recording from a dog with subaortic stenosis, made with the diaphragm of the stethoscope. The murmur of dynamic subaortic stenosis, in other words, that caused by muscular hypertrophy and the interaction of the hypertrophied interventricular septum with the closed mitral valve apparatus as opposed to a fixed subvalvular ring, classically begins later during systole, with a later peak or crescendo. This murmur may be present in cats with the obstructive form of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. We will listen first to a systolic ejection murmur as it might sound in a cat with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy and outflow obstruction. The systolic murmur of valvular pulmonic stenosis is also harsh or rough, medium-pitched, with a crescendo-decrescendo configuration. The loudness and duration of the murmur is closely related to the severity of the stenosis, and the auscultatory quality of the murmur is probably not distinguishable from that of aortic stenosis. The murmur of pulmonic stenosis is usually loudest in the pulmonic area on the left hemithorax. It is never louder on the right side of the chest, although the right-sided murmur of tricuspid regurgitation may also be present. We will now listen to the crescendo-decrescendo murmur of moderate to severe pulmonic stenosis in a miniature schnauzer. This recording is from the pulmonic valve region, as heard through the diaphragm of the stethoscope. There is a marked sinus arrhythmia present. The systolic murmur often heard in atrial septal defect is actually caused by relative pulmonic stenosis, and this is crescendo-decrescendo in contour, usually medium-pitched in quality, and is typically relatively soft and of short duration. The murmur is usually most prominent in the pulmonic area and is heard best with the diaphragm of the stethoscope. Now listen to the simulated ejection systolic murmur of atrial septal defect, which is followed by fixed splitting of S2. Thank you. innocent, physiologic, or functional systolic murmurs are not associated with organic heart disease. Such murmurs may be heard in normal animals of all ages, but mainly in puppies and kittens less than 6 months of age. These murmurs originate, at least partly, and probably wholly, from turbulence in the aortic root or pulmonary artery due to forward flow across the left or right ventricular outflow tracts. Innocent murmurs can usually be distinguished from organic systolic murmurs by the following characteristics. They are soft, usually grade 2 or less, and generally of short duration. The first and second heart sounds are normal, and there are no abnormal transient heart sounds present, such as ejection or gallop sounds. Many innocent murmurs change intensity, character, or duration with changes in the animal's position. Now listen to an actual recording of an innocent murmur from a puppy. We will now study another group of systolic murmurs, the holosystolic or regurgitant quality murmurs. Regurgitant quality murmurs are typically longer in duration than ejection quality systolic murmurs, so it is even harder to hear the first and second heart sounds with regurgitant quality murmurs. They usually have a plateau configuration with relatively uniform loudness throughout systole. We will begin with the murmur of mitral valve regurgitation. The most common cause of mitral regurgitation is myxomatous degeneration of the mitral valve, known as chronic valvular disease or endocarditis. Ruptured chordae tendinae, also generally a result of chronic valvular disease, may cause a sudden change in the murmur, and mitral regurgitation may also be heard in dilated cardiomyopathy, where the valve itself is normal, but ventricular dilation prevents normal valve coaptation. The murmur of degenerative mitral valve disease is typically a relatively high-pitched regurgitant quality murmur, with progressive deterioration of the mitral valve leaflets or with superimposed ruptured chordae tendinae, a harsher holosystolic murmur is present. Listen first to this simulated regurgitant murmur of mitral valve disease. Listen now to this recording from over the mitral valve area in a dog with degenerative valve disease. The sudden onset of a harsh, loud, holosystolic murmur, heard best at the left apex, may suggest ruptured chordae tendinae. Another differential might include hypertension or simply worsening endocarditis of the mitral valve. Murmur radiation depends on which part of the mitral valve and/or chordae are involved. The regurgitant quality murmur associated with dilated cardiomyopathy is usually soft, early systolic, plateau-shaped or decrescendo, with its point of maximal intensity at the left apex. The murmur is usually not as loud as mitral regurgitant murmurs in patients with primary myxomatous degeneration of the mitral valve, because the ventricle is weaker in patients with cardiomyopathy. The systolic murmur of significant tricuspid regurgitation is also typically holosystolic and resembles that of mitral regurgitation in timing and quality, although it is usually not as loud unless it is complicated by pulmonary hypertension or pulmonic stenosis. It is heard best over the tricuspid valve area on the right hemithorax. The presence of tricuspid regurgitation can be difficult to discern in the presence of severe mitral regurgitation or any other loud systolic murmur based on auscultation alone, since the loud systolic murmur of mitral regurgitation may radiate to the tricuspid valve area. If the murmur is noticeably accentuated during inspiration, this finding favors tricuspid regurgitation. The auscultatory findings with ventricular septal defect are determined by the size of the septal defect and the pulmonary vascular resistance. The murmur is usually plateau-shaped or holosystolic and medium to high-pitched. The murmur is usually loudest at the right cranial sternal border, but there is great individual variation in the associated heart sounds and murmur. The murmur of VSD is difficult to distinguish in both sound quality and location from that of tricuspid valve regurgitation. Listen now to this recording from the right sternal border of a cat with a ventricular septal defect. And now listen to a recording from a dog with a ventricular septal defect. We will now study diastolic murmurs. These are auscultated between S2 and S1 during the phases of ventricular relaxation. An auscultable diastolic murmur strongly implies underlying organic heart disease. Aortic regurgitation is the most common cause of a diastolic murmur heard in a dog or cat. The murmur of aortic regurgitation is typically high-pitched, blowing in quality, and decrescendo in configuration, as shown in Figure 2-13. The murmur is best auscultated with the diaphragm of the stethoscope over the region of the aortic valve, often with the animal lying down in a left lateral recumbent position on top of the stethoscope. Listen to the decrescendo diastolic murmur as it would sound in a dog with vegetative endocarditis of the aortic valve. Although rarely producing an audible murmur, Doppler studies have documented that aortic regurgitation often accompanies subaortic stenosis. Subaortic stenosis is also an important predisposing factor for subsequent acquired infection of the aortic valve, endocarditis, which commonly causes significant aortic regurgitation. When valvular aortic stenosis and aortic regurgitation are combined, both the ejection quality systolic murmur of aortic stenosis and the diastolic blowing quality murmur of aortic regurgitation are present, forming a to and fro murmur. See Figure 2-14. Note that there is still a small, quiet moment present between the systolic and diastolic components of the to and fro murmur, which is critical in distinguishing this murmur from a continuous murmur as discussed below. We will now listen to a simulated to and fro murmur of aortic stenosis coupled with aortic regurgitation. We will now shift to continuous murmurs. These are long murmurs that begin in systole and continue beyond the second sound into diastole. They do not stop abruptly, but may not in fact be audible throughout all of diastole. Continuous murmurs often have a peculiar distant quality, even at their point of maximal intensity. Patent ductus arteriosus is the most common cause of a continuous murmur in dogs and cats. Although cats with patent ductus arteriosus are far less likely to have a continuous murmur than dogs. The murmur starts with, or immediately after, S1, and reaches maximal loudness at or slightly before S2, then is decrescendo in contour throughout diastole towards the next S1. The classic murmur is loud, of medium pitch, and is heard best at the left heart base. It is often described as a machinery murmur. Listen first to a simulated continuous murmur. Now, listen to this recording from the left heart base in a dog with APDA. Other less common causes of continuous murmurs include mitral regurgitation, tricuspid regurgitation, and ventricular septal defect. We will now test your knowledge of murmurs with 5 unknowns. After determining the correct answers, fill in the appropriate blanks in your book. The location is provided. Aortic area of a boxer dog. Pulmonic area of a female Sheltie. Aortic area in a German Shepherd dog. left apex in a male poodle. Left sternal border in a dyspneic cat. Listen now to the same sound played at half speed, making the murmur much easier to identify.